Morning, everyone. Welcome back. Today, in what will probably be our last day discussing the afterlife, not that we'll have a chance to finish, but I think it's time to move on, I'd like to discuss two particular topics, but before beginning, just one ha'ara that pertains to the previous year. In the previous year, we discussed the fundamental difference between the approaches of the Rambam and the Ramban to Olam Haba, and how that perhaps relates to their more general dispute concerning how to see Olam Hazeh, how to see the guf, is there spiritual value to the body or not. And while what I said I think is true, it's worth noting that there's also fundamental agreement between the Ramban and the Rambam. The Ramban himself notes this. If you look on your source books in page 12, he writes that everybody agrees that Olam Haba exists, that it's the place of the greatest possible understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest spiritual delight, that the pleasure of Olam Haba is entirely spiritual, and it is a pleasure that derives from our superior understanding of God. Perish Olam Haba, Hu HaHasaga HaAchrona, Sha'adama Sigumis Alaba, V'chein Amru, Bibereshus Rabba, Be'or Hazesh, Sha'adam Tsofe Misof HaOlam Ve'atsofo, V'uinyin Tzfias HaMerkava, Uvo Masigim Amitas HaNevraim Bechlal, V'zeu Misof HaOlam Ve'atsofo, V'zeu Or HaChaim, Kedechsiv L'Or Bor HaChaim. So that's true. The idea of what Olam Haba is about, apprehending the truth, correctly understanding God, and that being a spiritual pleasure, so that's universally agreed upon. And thus, the Ramban concludes, Ein beinenu rak b'shinui hashemos. The difference between the Rambam and the Ramban is not as substantial as perhaps seems at first. It's just a question of shinui shemos. V'akol modim b'tchias ha-meisum v'kiyam hazman ahu b'chlalav u'pratav k'mo shepirashnu zulasi das Harav Rebbe Moshe shenosenes kitzva lezman hatchia umachzir akol yolam haneshamos kemoshen izkar lamala. V'anachnu mekaymen anshe hatchia la'adei ad miyemos tchias hameisim l'olam haba v'hu olam shekulo arach. So I think that perhaps puts things into a slightly different perspective. The first topic I wanted to discuss with you today is whether non-Jews can have Olam Haba as well. The Tiferes Yisrael, if you took a look on page 28 of your source books, the Tiferes Yisrael makes the following diuk from the Mishnah. The Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin in the beginning of the 10th parak writes, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelok L'Olam Haba, and then it mentions certain exceptions. And for example, it says, Shlosha Malachim V'Arbe Hadyotos Ein Lam Chelok L'Olam Haba, the Shlosha Malachim are Yeravim Achav and Menashe, and the Arba Hadyotos that don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba are Bilam the Doeg, the Achitofel, the Gechazi. Now, one second, Bilam isn't Jewish, and yet he's listed among those that have no Chelek in Olam Haba. Now, if that's true, so the implication is that non-Jews generally can have a Chelek in Olam Haba. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense to list Bilam as an exception. All non-Jews have no Chelek Olam Haba. Obviously, then Bilam doesn't. If Bilam is listed as the exception, as an example of a guy who doesn't have a chelek in Olam Haba, then clearly, Gayim, generally speaking, do or may have a chelek in Olam Haba. In the Mishnah, in Mishnah Aleph and Mishnah Beis, in the 10th parak of Sanhedrin. The Tosefta actually has a debate about this topic. According to, you'll see it over here, it's Sanhedrin, Parak Yud Gimel, Halacha Beis, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Kol Gayim Ein Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba, Shenemar Yashuvu Rishayim L'Sha'ola, Kol Gayim Shechei Elokim, Yashuvu Rishayim L'Sha'ola, Elu Rishay Yisrael, Amra Lo Reb Yoshua, Ilu Amra Kasav Yashuvu Rishayim L'Sha'ola, Kol Agayim V'Shosei, Kayisi Omer Kedvarecha, Achshav She'amar Kasav Shechei Elohim, Ha Yesh Tzadikim B'Umos, Sheyesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba. According to Rabbi Eliezer, all non-Jews have no chelek in Olam Haba, but Rabbi Yoshua disagrees. And in fact, the very pasuk that Rabbi Eliezer uses to support his contention, Rabbi Yoshua says, actually disproves him. Because it says, what non-Jews don't have a chelek in Olam Haba? Those that are shechechei Elokim, implying those that aren't shechechei Elokim do have a chelek in Olam Haba. Now, we should note that Rabbi Eliezer's view seems troubling in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaShofei Kol Haaretz Al Yaaseh Mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously just, and if non-Jews do good things, so shouldn't they be rewarded? For him to claim that non-Jews have no chelek Olam Haba seems to be unfair. So presumably, Rabbi Eliezer would have to say that non-Jews are rewarded for their Maisim Tovim Ba'olam Hazeh. This might relate to the idea that we saw earlier in the Ramban, that where a person receives his reward relates to their orientation and the nature of their deeds and their good deeds. However, again, Rabbi Yoshua says, no, non-Jews can indeed have a chelek in Olam Haba. Another source, which clearly assumes that non-Jews can have a chelek Olam Haba, is the Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer. It's on page 29. And the Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer makes a very fascinating distinction between two categories of Gentiles who do in fact merit a chelek in Olam Haba. So it's on page 29. Hefrish bein chasidei Yisrael lechasidei umos ha'olam. Chasidei Yisrael einan nikraim chasidim ad shiyasu kol ha'Torah. Ava chasidei umos ha'olam, kevan shehen osin sheva mitzvos shenitztavu b'nei noach aleihen, hein v'chol dikdukeihen, hein nikraim chasidim. When it comes to a chasid Yisrael, so to be a Yisrael who's a chasid, you have to do taryag mitzvos. To be a chasid me'umos ha'olam, you only have sheva mitzvos. This is one of the things that we tell a prospective convert. We say, now that you're not Jewish, all you have to do to be righteous is simply sheva mitzvos. The Medrash notes, heima v'dikdukeyim, so it's not simply seven, but it's sheva v'dikdukeyim as opposed to taryag v'dikdukeyim. Bamedvar mamurim, Kshosin osan veomrin mikoach shetziva osanu avinu noach mipi hagvura anu osim. When is a non-Jew considered righteous? When he observes the sheva mitzvos b'nei noach, and he assumes that, or he claims that he's doing these sheva mitzvos because they come from God. Vim asukein. So then, harehin yorshin ha'olam haba ki Yisrael. Then, in fact, they are b'nei olam haba. They have a chelek in Olam Haba, even though they don't keep Shabbos, because they're not obligated to keep Shabbos. However, if they observe the Sheva Mitzvahs Bei Noach, but they do them not because they came Mipi Agvura, but for some other reason. For example, they say that this is basic morality, natural morality. Shekach Hadas Machras. This is what makes sense. So then, they're rewarded, but only in Olam Hazeh, not in Olam Haba. This is, you might ask, by the way, if this is Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer, so then there's a stira between Rabbi Eliezer and the Tosefta, who says they have no chelek in Olam Haba, and Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer. It's not a kasha. The author of Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer is apparently Rabbi Eliezer ben Yossi Aglili, and Rabbi Eliezer and the Tosefta is Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. Now there is some question about this Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer, which we'll maybe get to in a minute. However, this distinction that the Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer makes is famously found in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Malachim Ches Yud Aleph, Kol HaMekabel Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach V'Nizhar La'asosan Harei Zeh Mechaside Umos Ha'olam V'yesh Lo Chelok Olam Haba V'hu Sheikabel Osan V'yasosan Mipnei Shetziva Bahen HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Torah. So a non-Jew is mechasidei umos olam if he observes the sheva mitzvos b'nei noach, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded these sheva mitzvos. Aval im ason mipnei hechrei hadas, ein zeger toshav, ein o machaside umos haolam. And now the question is, what is the correct girsa? Now, if you look at the Frankel edition, as opposed to the Vilna edition of the Rambam, and this seems to be the correct edition based off of manuscript evidence. So the Rambam concludes that someone who observes the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, not because God commanded, but mipnei hachrei adas, because they make sense, because they seem to be correct, so then they are not mechaside umos olam, ela mechachamehem. Meaning to say, the Rambam says there are two categories of non-Jews who observe the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Chaside umos olam, who observe the Mitzvot Bnei Noach because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them, and Chachmei umos olam, who observe the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach because they make sense. Now the Rambam writes explicitly that Chaside umos olam have a chelek liolam haba. Well, what about Chachmei umos olam? What is the Rambam telling us about them? So first of all, we should note that elsewhere as well, in Hilchos Malachim Perek Tes, the Rambam does note that the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach do derive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know them through Moshe Rabbeinu. However, he also writes that they are logical, that there is a natural aspect to them. He writes, Afal pi shekulan hen kabbalah miyadeinu mimoshe Rabbeinu, v'hadas nota lohen. So, in both of these places, the Rambam stresses that morality, or the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, can be derived both through tradition and through independent discovery. However, here the Rambam distinguishes between the motivation with respect to Olam Haba. Now, we should note that the way the Rambam was understood for hundreds of years is based off of a different text. If you look at the Vilna edition of the Rambam, for example, it doesn't say that someone who observes the Sheva Mitzvot because they were independently discovered is from the Chachmei Umos HaOlam. Rather, it says Ve'eino mechaside Umos HaOlam ve'lo mechachameim. He's neither a chassid or a chacham. And the question is, why is he not a chacham? And what's so bad about this? There's been a lot of debate. There's a famous back and forth between Rav Yaakov Endin and Moses Mendelssohn about this. We won't get into the details now. But Rabbi Charlap, just parenthetically, has a fascinating article in the Torah Mada Journal a number of years back where he said this machlokas about the correct gears in the Rambam was really a machlokas between the James Adams and Thomas Jefferson. That if you look in a letter from John Adams, so he clears this chakira in the Rambam, whether the authority is from nature and reason or from miraculous revelation, the revelation from God by the human understanding or the revelation to Moses. And then you might say, well, one second, how does John Adams know about the Sheva Mitzvot? Maybe he had the Torah Shebichsav. He wasn't Jewish. We know the Sheva Mitzvot from the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, from there's a remez in the Psukim, but ultimately it's part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So in a different letter that Rabbi Charlap quotes, James Adams writes, he writes about how if I had eyes and nerves, I would go through both testaments and mark all that I understand to examine the Mishnah, Gemara, Kabbalah, Sefer Yetzirah, Sefer Kuzari, Talmud, and that would take me the whole life of Chaye Misushelach, all 969 years, and I still wouldn't finish. Problem that we all face on a daily basis. So John Adams also had that problem. And of course Jefferson, who was not as a philo-Semitic as his good friend John Adams, disagreed. Different understanding of the Rambam. So okay, so this is an old machlokas. Anyway, the point though is, let's assume for the moment that the correct girsa is the one that we stated at first, that it's Ela Mechachamehem. The Rambam is telling us that there are these two categories, Chasidei Umos HaOlam and Chachmei Umos HaOlam. So the question that is unclear, that's not explicit in the Rambam, is what exactly happens to the Chachmei Umos HaOlam. And that, in fact, is a debate. It's actually a little bit reminiscent, the Rambam's comparison between Chassid and Chacham, to what he writes in the Shmona Prakim, right, in the famous Machlokas between Chazal and the philosophers. Ayin Sham, I think it's telling, but we don't have time to get into it. But I will note that there's an interesting debate about how to read this between, we'll present it today as between Rav Kook and Rav Twersky. If you take a look at Rav Kook, which is printed on page 29 of your source books, a letter, he has a fascinating read of the Rambam. Dati note shekavanas Rambam hi shemaylas yesh lam chelak liolam haba himayla yiruda meod. So remember, the Rambam wrote that chasidei umos haolam yesh lam chelak liolam haba, and chachmei umos haolam, and someone who believes in the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach because they independently discovered them, is Mechachmei Umos HaOlam. Well, is that better or worse than Chasidei Umos HaOlam, or equal? So Rav Kook claims that it's the Chachmei Umos HaOlam is better. First of all, he says, we know that the Rambam valued Chachma more than anything else. So to be a Chacham is even greater, according to the Rambam, than to be a Chasid. So if Chasidei Umos HaOlam have a chelek in Olam Haba, so certainly Chachmei Umos HaOlam have a chelek in Olam Haba. And he claims that that Chasidei Umos HaOlam only Yeshlem chelek liolam haba, which is a low level, because we know Kol Yisrael Yeshlem chelek liolam haba. So the Madrega of Chachmei Umos HaOlam must be even greater. So the Rambam should read that someone who believes in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Noach, because they independently discovered them, is not Mei Chasidei Umos HaOlam, Ela Mei Chachameim, which is certainly even greater, and Al Achas Kama V'Kama has a Chelek, and even a greater Chelek, in Olam Haba. That's the way Rav Kook reads the Rambam. Then, if you read on in the letter, he says, and even if you don't want to read the Rambam this way, he notes that textually it's not the simplest reading, but he thinks fundamentally the idea is true one way or the other. Now, the way Rav Twersky reads the Rambam is that even if you have the girsa, Ela mechachameim, it actually does not mean that Chachmei Umos HaOlam have a chelek in Olam Haba. All the Rambam says is that Chasidei Umos HaOlam have a chelek in Olam Haba, and if you believe and observe observe the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach because Hadas Machras, so then you're Chachmei Umos HaOlam. Now, what is the status of Chachmei Umos HaOlam? Well, the Rambam doesn't tell you. But the implication is, perhaps they don't have Chelek in Olam Haba. That to have a Chelek in Olam Haba, a non-Jew not only has to observe the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, but believe that they come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if we assume that the source of the Rambam is the Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer, so then the Rambam is consistent with Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer only if read like Rav Twersky. According to Rav Kook, you'd have to kvetch a lot. Now, the truth is, traditionally it wasn't assumed that the Rambam's source was Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer. For example, if you look at the Kesef Mishnah on that halacha, the Kesef Mishnah says that he doesn't know of any source for this Rambam, and he says that the Rambam made it up. It's a Ra'ui Lami Sha'amro. It's a beautiful Chiddush, but it's the Rambam's Chiddush. However, in the 20th century, various scholars discovered this Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer and said that, you see, this is the source for the Rambam. Now, if that's true, so that makes Rav Twersky's reading a little more compelling. Some have wondered whether the Rambam is the source for Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer, or Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer is the source for the Rambam, which is an issue which we won't get into now. It is worthy to note that the Rambam does quote Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer in other places by reference. For example, in Sefer HaMitzvos, he refers to a passage, he quotes it by name, the Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer, and then he cites it. So that's an interesting issue in terms of scholarship, but it certainly is the case that the sources are consistent if you learn like Rabbi Tursky. Now, the question is, why would it be? Why is it that it's insufficient, at least to get a chelek in Olam Haba, to observe the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach? Why is it that you need to observe them and believe that they are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, the answer to this might relate to the Rambam's general conception to Olam Haba, which we touched upon last time, and we also touched upon at the beginning of the year when we talked about the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah. Certain passages in the Rambam stress intellectual achievement, or at the very least, a correct conception of God, and perhaps belief in the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah as a precondition for Olam Haba. Not so much that that Olam Haba is a reward for their belief, but that Olam Haba is only conceivable with their belief. A correct conception of God is necessary by definition for Olam Haba, which is all about conceiving God correctly and even more perfectly. Olam Haba might be a natural consequence of that belief. Now, it's true that the Rambam in many, many places also stresses Maisim Tovim, as we mentioned last time. Belief without Maisim Tovim is clearly not sufficient for Olam Haba. For Jews, that means mitzvos, and for non-Jews, well, I shouldn't say it's not sufficient, because we'll get there in a moment. But Maisim Tovim have an important role in Olam Haba for Jews, and Sheva Mitzvos for non-Jews. However, if the non-Jew does not believe in God, or does not even believe basically in the Kari Emunah, so then, just like for a Jew, Olam Haba is by definition impossible, so too that would be the case for a non-Jew. Now again, at the beginning of the year we questioned whether that was the correct understanding of the Rambam. Ayin Shum for that discussion. But if you took that approach to the Rambam, we'll call it the Rav Chaim Abar Benel Mahalich, so then it would make sense that that idea would also exist for non-Jews, in which case we could understand why the Rambam would be saying that that you need to believe, or non-Jew has to believe in, that these mitzvos come from Moshe in order to have a chelek in Olam Haba. Now, there is a letter where, in the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam only seems to stress the non-Jew performing the Sheva Mitzvos. In a letter, he stresses intellectual accomplishment as important for Olam Haba for non-Jews. Again, if you look in your source book, he writes, Umasha sha'alta al ha'umos havi yodeya dirachmana liba bai, v'achar kavana salev heim heim hadvarim, ve'al kein amru chachmei ha'emes rabosenu aleim ha'shalom chasidi umos olam yeshlam chelak li'olam haba, im hisigu ma shiro'ui lahasig miyediyas habore yisborach v'iskinu nafsham b'midos ha'tovo. So here he writes chasidi umos olam have a chelak in olam haba, and he doesn't, like in Mishneh Torah, stress observance of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Rather, here he stresses intellectual achievements. Hisigu ma shiro'ui lahasig miyediyas habore. And he writes, v'ein b'davar safik shekol mi shehiskin nafsho b'kashros hamidos b'kashros hachachma b'emunas habore yisborach b'vadai hu mibnei ha'olam haba. You might see this also reflected in the Mishneh Torah as well. If you recall, the Mishneh Torah writes in Hilchos Tshuva Per Gimel, so he writes, that's Per Gimel's where he discusses the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah, or at least 12 of them, but Ikar Emunah in Mishneh Torah, and he writes in Halacha Hey at the end, V'chein chaside umos olam yesh lem chelak l'olam haba, and in Halacha Vav he writes, V'elu shein lam chelak l'olam haba, Ela nechrasim va'ovdim v'nidonim algo del risham v'chatasam li'olam u'liyol me'olamim, haminim v'apikorsim v'akofrim b'torah v'akofrim t'chias ha'mesim v'chulei v'chulei. Now, the Rambam follows one right after the other. He says, chaside umos olam have a chelak l'olam haba, ve'elu she'en lam chelak l'olam haba, those that are kofrim. So the implication is that both among Jews and non-Jews, this is Rabbi Tursky's diyuk, both among Jews and non-Jews, kofrim, would lack a chelek in Olam Haba. So, to summarize, there might be a debate in Chazal whether Umos Olam can have a chelek in Olam Haba. The Rambam certainly concludes that Chasidei Umos Olam have a chelek in Olam Haba. The question in the Rambam, both in terms of the Girsa and even if you have our Girsa, the question still remains, what is the stature of Chachmei Umos Olam? Rav Kook argued they are greater than Chasidei Umos Olam. Rav Tursky argued that if they don't believe, so they are Einam B'nei Olam Haba, perhaps a natural consequence, and we brought Rios back and forth. One last point before I address your question, though, and that is as follows. Even if the Rambam maintains, and this might be the mainstream view even in Chazal, that Umos Olam can have a chelek in Olam Haba, and that seems to make a lot of sense because, after all, Umos Olam do wonderful, righteous things. Why shouldn't they have a chelek in Olam Haba? Nevertheless, the Mishnah stresses that the relationship between Jews and non-Jews vis-a-vis Olam Haba is not identical. You see this in the Mishnah, which says, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba, shenemar v'amech kulam tzadikim. Whereas when it comes to non-Jews, so while we say they have a chelek in Olam Haba, it's Chasidei Umos Olam that have a chelek l'olam haba. If you take a look at the Tiferes Yisrael, on that Mishnah, he stresses this deal. Yes, we certainly accept that Chasidei Umos Olam have a chelek in Olam Haba. However, it's only Chasidim. And even if you want to say it's even Benonim, after all, it's only those like Bilam who are excluded. But this notion of Kol Yisrael Yeshlam chelek Olam Haba, so that is reserved for Jews. And you see this in the Rambam as well. The Rambam writes in Tshuva Gimel Hay that Kol Yisrael chelek lom haba, and thus even kol rishayim among rishay Yisrael she'avonoseh merubim danin oso kefi chateihem v'yesh lam chelek lom haba she'kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek lom haba. And then he writes also v'chein chasidei umos olam. So the Rambam here makes the same distinction. When it comes to Yisrael, so then there's this concept of kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek lom haba, and that means that even rishay Yisrael have a chelek lom haba. Mashein kein when it comes to Umos Olam, so then we say Chasidei Umos Olam, Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba. Now, why is that? So, and you see this also, just one other point where you see it in the Rambam, is in Hilchos Isurei Bia, when the Rambam writes what we tell a prospective convert, so we make this point. The Omrim Lo, this is Yodal Adalid, Havi Yodea, Sha'olam Haba, Einot Safun, Elalat Sadikim, Vehein Yisrael. Vezeh Shatir Yisrael, Betzar Ba'olam Hazeh, Tova Tzifuna Hilahem, etc., etc. Meaning to say that we apprise him that there is a distinct Madrega in Olam Haba and a Kesher in Olam Haba to Yisrael and to Yisrael alone. And therefore, when we tell the prospective convert the pros and cons about joining our religion, so one of the pros we mention is Olam Haba. One of the cons we mention is Olam Hazeh. Now, why is it that Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba? Whereas, again, when it comes to Umos Olam, it's only those who act in such a way that makes them worthy of it. So the Maral, both in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, on the mission of Kol Yisrael, as well as in his Chidushei Agados in Perek HaChelek, tells us that this is because of a Jew's latent and inherent spirituality. He writes, Perish HaKasov, when it says, V'amech Kulam Tzadikim, Shirotze Lomar Ki Yisrael Kulam Tzadikim. In other words, what the Mishnah is telling us when it tells us Kol Yisrael chelak Yeshlam chelak lamaba shenemar ve'ameh chulam tzadikim, it's saying that there's an inherent connection. We are tzadikim not just through our maisim tovim, but rather naturally, inherently. Ratzalomar Shem Tzadikim Ba'atzman. Below tzad mitzvos umaisim tovim yeshlam chelok l'mabba. Therefore, kol Yisrael yeshlam chelok l'mabba. Therefore, the Rambam writes even rishay Yisrael yeshlam chelok l'mabba. And likewise, in Chidushi Agados, he writes kavanaso b'mashamar kol Yisrael yeshlam chelok l'mabba. Ratzalomar mipnei sheyesha lam shem Yisrael. Kol Yisrael, as long as you're Yisrael, yeshlam chelok l'mabba. That way, that's by the way why the notion that there are certain people, even among Yisrael, who have no chelek in Olam Haba, right? Like we mentioned, those who are kofer b'tchias ha-mesim or the like. Why? It's a stira. What does the Mishnah mean when it says, kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek ha-mabah, and then it says, ve'elu she'en lam chelek ha-mabah? Then it's not kol. And that explains, by the way, the darshei reshumos in the Gemara's continuation in Sanhedrin. What's the yisod, says the Maharal? That as long as you're a Yisrael, yesh lam chelek ha-mabah. Those Yisrael she'en lam chelek ha-mabah is because they're mafkia themselves from Yisrael. V'kai seifa al ze elu she'en lam chelek ha-mabah. Ki kol kach godol risho shel elu ad she'enem b'chlal Yisrael nechshavim. V'en aleim shem Yisrael she'yotzim min ha-klal Yisrael. And then we say afilu yeshi mitzvos umayis tovim harbe ein lam chelok lam haba shere yotze michlal Yisrael. Now, whether the Rambam agrees to the inherent spiritual superiority of Jews or not, and generally this idea that the Maharal is telling us and being medayik from the Mishnah is one that Bezras Hashem will return to when we discuss Bechiras Yisrael. So this isn't all we have to say on that matter, but that is important to note, that it would seem that everybody who agrees that umos olam yesh lam chelok lam haba, but there still is this basic distinction. Okay, there were a number of questions. Elliot, did...
Yeah, so in order to develop the philosophy behind the twisted position, which mm-hmm. that he would say that all of the Yehudim have to believe in all of Yehudim and Karim.
I think that's what he maintains.
All Yehudim and Karim. And he maintains a stricter Chaim view in general of the Rambam?
It's risky. the truth is that when he... I heard these points made in the post-Mincha Shiurim from earlier this year, and that's where he made that point. In terms of Paskening like Reb Chaim, he actually left the matter open. I once asked him about it, and he wasn't... The way he put it was, as we noted at the beginning of the year, that from Mar Nevuchim it sounds like Reb Chaim, but from Mishneh Torah it sounds more like Reb Chaim, but from Mar Nevuchim might sound not that way. But he thought this point made sense even without taking that approach, though it certainly is easier to understand if you do take that approach.
Right, but then if you don't take that approach, then in all likelihood, let me put it this way. Even if you hold they have to believe in all your Gimli Karim, is one of your Gimli Karim that these Sheva Mitzvos are Messina? Let's say they don't know what the Sheva Mitzvos are. They believe that this Torah, whatever it is given to Moshe Rabbeinu.
So,
the belief that the Sheva Mitzvos are Messina is not necessarily even included in the Gimli Karim.
So, again, it's possible that the formulation of the basic components of faith for a non-Jew would be slightly different. In other words, it wouldn't be the Yud Gimel Ikarim as formulated for Yisrael. For example, when the Rambam, even if we accept Rav Tursky's diuk from Parag Gimel, that it says, v'chein chaside umos olam ha-v'chelek olam haba, and then he writes, elu she'en lam chelek olam haba, kofrim, and the like. And that's going even on umos olam. But the Rambam in that list includes things that certainly wouldn't be relevant for umos olam, like porish minat zibor. It's hard to imagine. For Yisrael, we say Yisrael's porish minat zibor is no chelek in olam haba. It's hard to imagine that would be true for non-Jews. So even...
That doesn't undermine the diuk?
No. I mean, it maybe weakens the diuk. But I don't think it undermines the diuk. And I think what would be mistaber to say if you took this approach, and I definitely don't want to put words into Rav Tursky's mouth, but what's mistaber to say if you took this approach, I think, is that you're right. If we were trying to formulate Ikari Emuna for non-Jews, it might be different than Jews. Just like the list in Hilchos Tshuva of those who are excluded from Olam Haba wouldn't be identical for Jews and non-Jews. I don't see why it would be the case that a non-Jew who didn't believe in Mashiach, for example, would have no chelik in Olam Haba. That has nothing to do with them. So that's, it's hard enough to understand why it's an inherent belief for Jews. To say that for non-Jews, I would think is particularly problematic. And mehechatesi that, let's say, those B'nai Noach before Avram Avinu were supposed to know about Mashiach, right? So even in the Rambam, there might be some room for understanding that there's an evolution and things develop. That's a very important question, though not for now. But I think it's mistaber to say that the list of Ikari Amunah for a non-Jew would be different than Ikari Amunah for a Jew. Now, what exactly would be on that list? It's hard to know. Would it perhaps be limited to the first five Ikari Amunah that are more about God, and then plus, instead of having Torah Misinai, it's the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach meeting, coming Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's it? Or maybe something else? That's hard to know. It's hard to know. Yeah. No, I think that's what the Maharal's making that point. If it wrote it that way, so you wouldn't have thought Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba. If it said Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba, Ve'elu She'en Lam Chelek Olam Haba, V'chulei V'chulei, so I would think that it's not true. There isn't this idea of Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba, that anyone that is a Shem Yisrael automatically has a Chelek Olam Haba. I wouldn't have had that appreciation, because I would have thought that this is just these are just exceptions. The reason for the formulation of the Mishnah is to show these aren't exceptions. It's not the pshat that Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba except for X, Y, and Z. Rather, it's Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba, period. Ve'elu She'en Lam Chelek Olam Haba. So the Parshman HaTzibur isn't in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. That's the Rambam's Chiddush. You could look at the Nosei Kelim to see where the Rambam got it from. But one could actually make that very point, that being Parshman HaTzibur, in this sense, I don't know if, doesn't mean that if, you know, you go to a breakaway minyan for Marev, you automatically lose your Chelek and Olam Haba. But Parshman HaTzibur in its entirety, meaning to say, Einu Mesameach B'Simchasam, Einu Mesavol B'Avilusam, in the most egregious sense of separating yourself from Klal Yisrael, so that's actually exactly what it is. In other words, that's what Parish Menat Zibur is. Now, again, this is not the time to go through the list of the Rambam's people who have no Chelek in Olam Haba and figuring out why it is that they do, and then whether that's Begeder, being Mafkia, yourself in Klal Yisrael. But I would point out that your example of Akasha is actually greatest raya to this yisod, which is that Ein Lecha Porish Miklal Yisrael Yoser Mina Porish Mina Tzibor. And that's the reason why Porish Mina Tzibor is considered so bad. What's so bad about it? The guy does all the mitzvos. He observes Halacha Ketikuno, and he even has Ikari Emuna, right? And still Ein Lo Chelek Lam Haba, precisely because he's Mafki himself from Klal Yisrael. But yeah, so it's an important limud to not for now to go through the list of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, those that have no Chelek Olam Haba, and Taka to carefully consider why each of those belong on this list. It's a good question, and it's not for now, but a very important thing to do. Yeah.
Does anyone discuss the expectation of how non-Jews are expected?
Good. It's a very good question. So again, if you learned like Rav Kook, it wouldn't be a problem. Because according to Rav Kook, it's very simple. Non-Jews, like all human beings, have the capacity to discover that which is right and that which is wrong, even independently. That's an idea that the Rambam writes in many places. In Mishneh Torah, in Mor Nevuchim, part of being a Tzelem Elokim is the ability to know what's right and what's wrong. We talked about that when we introduced Bechira Chafshis, that the Rambam writes part of Bechira is being able to determine that. So the answer, if we followed Rav Kook's approach, is very simple. That a non-Jew is able to independently discover what's right and what's wrong. If he learns it from Moshe, so then he's begader chaside umos olam. If not, he's begader chachme umos olam. Either way is a chelik l'olam haba, and either way, this is something that every human being is capable of doing. So obviously, if we follow the approach of Rav Kook, so then there would be no problem. You would have no question. The question that you're asking, which is a difficult question, is if we follow Rav Tursky's approach, so it seems rather unfair, because after all, you know, a lot of people may, you know, they never had that opportunity. But Be'etzem, it's the same kasha that we asked on why, if you take Reb Chaim's approach to Ikari Emunah, why that's true for Yisrael as well. Meaning to say, if you take the approach to Ikari Emunah that any Yisrael that doesn't believe in Ikari Emunah, even if it's not his fault, has no chelik in Olam Haba. So the same kasha that you're asking on Jews applies on non-Jews applies on Jews as well. So how you dealt with that over there could be dealt with over here as well. At the time, we noted a number of approaches. But the answer, if you took this approach to its extreme, would have to be that you're right. Nebuchadnezzar is by a non-Jew as well. It's not their fault. Perhaps we don't blame them. But simply, Olam Haba is by definition impossible for someone lacking those emunos videos. So I think the answer that we gave to that, if you take that approach to its extreme, you'd give the same answer that you gave for Jews and non-Jews. Yeah.
Maybe this is just for me, but it seems very counterintuitive. The idea of Olam Haba is not like, you know, this world is for Olam Haba, and that's all because there's an understanding of God. I guess this is really a question on Rav Kook, but how is it that, I'm just not understanding, how is it somebody who just comes up with the understanding of, okay, let's be moral, we'll get a chelik in this future, which just seems to be just in a realization of God?
I don't know. The question doesn't bother me. If you go ahead and you, I mean, I understand your perspective, and that would be, it's a perspective that many have taken, but the answer is someone that lives a moral life and does maisim tovim and does good deeds and is kind and is generous and is, I mean, might not need that, so then they have a chelik in Olam Haba. That's what Olam Haba is for. Now, is it better to have a correct understanding of God? Certainly. But it doesn't mean that you're automatically excluded without it. Just like, you know, lahavdil, or if a Jew dies and they're a child, right, a baby, so the Gemara understands that they have a chelik in Olam Haba, even though they have never achieved a correct conception of God. Now that's for Yisrael, perhaps because it's begeder kol Yisrael yesh lam chelik in Olam Haba. It's true, but it's taken for granted that you don't need necessarily to be a philosopher to have a chelik in Olam Haba. Okay, yeah. For Klal Yisrael, that's certainly true, according to the simple reading of the Gemara. That might be true as well. Doesn't mean he's going to go to Gehenna either. He obviously hasn't done anything wrong. But perhaps that relates to the fundamental difference of whether you're Begeder Kol Yisrael or not. Okay. So that was what we were supposed to do for the first couple of minutes of Shir. The second thing that I wanted to discuss with you is what is Gan Eden, which I guess we'll have to do a little bit more Bekitzer. But let's just recall the basic idea of the Ramban's Mahalich. If you remember, the Ramban said that there's a difference between Gan Eden and Olam Haba. Gan Eden is part of the Olam HaNeshamos. It's where the soul resides after separating from the body, and it's there until Tchias HaMesim, when there's a resurrection and there is Olam Haba. Now, what exactly, so the Olam HaNeshamos is comprised of Gan Eden and Gehenim. Certainly, I was hoping to do Gehenim today also. I guess we won't get to that. The Ramban, by the way, notes that you see that this is true in Chazal, because Chazal always contrasts Gan Eden and Gehenim. They never contrast, for example, Olam Haba and Gehenim. Why is that? Because Olam Haba has nothing to do with Gehenim, because Olam Haba is La'achar HaTchiyah. Gan Eden is contrasted with Gehenim because those are both part of the Olam HaNeshamos. Anyhow, so what is Gan Eden? So basically what the Ramban, take a look at page 13 in your source books. What the Ramban basically says is that Gan Eden is a physical place with a parallel spiritual dimension, and both of these venues are suited for intellectually apprehending that which is true. So Gan Eden serves as the place where the soul is prepared for the Ramban for its ultimate reunion with the body in Olam Haba. To put it a little differently, the Ramban and the Ramchal elaborate, Gan Eden serves actually two purposes. Number one is it's sort of a way station, a holding station for the neshamos where they exist while waiting for Olam Haba. In other words, after they separate from the body, after death, to Olam Haba, where they're going to go. That's what the purpose of the Olam HaNeshamos is. But even more importantly, the Olam HaNeshamos is what prepares the neshama for Olam Haba. And that is as follows. Gehenim certainly is that, meaning to say the chibur between the neshama and the guf, especially when a person does averos, taints the neshama, and thus it needs to be purified through the experience of Gehenim, which is one fundamentally of purification. We'll talk about that if we have time. And even Gan Eden is, because it's the place of the ideal place suited for understanding truths, so that too prepares the neshama for its ultimate reunion for the body. The guf is prepared by rotting and being buried. The neshama is prepared by going through the Olam HaNeshamos. So let's take a look at the Ramban. He writes where it says Kuf Chaf Gimel on page 13. Avitchila nomar sheschar mitzos kulan vagmul atov shalem davar pashat hu bedir abusim shikar agadol hu chayolam haba. Aval schar kodem v'hu ma sheyagia l'adam acharei hamavis miyad hu gan Eden k'mo shebiarnu megehenim shu ha'onesh hamagia l'rash acharei hamavis. Oh. And then he continues and he writes a very startling thing that we know that the Torah talks about Gan Eden. Now, what is the Gan Eden discussed in the Torah? It seems to be an actual place in the world. There are four rivers, and it's where Adam HaRishon lived. Well, what does that have to do with the Gan Eden that we talk about where the soul resides after they're dead? So Ramban writes, they're the same thing. Umas char ve'onesh yesh l'nefashos ha-tzadikim v'gan hazeh. It's actually a place on the world. He says this also in his Parashat Torah. V'sha'ar b'naharos yotze misham, v'achad mehem paras ha-sovei v'eretz Yisrael. V'chol ma sheba b'kasov mipshutei seder b'reishis ha-kol emes, ein mikro yotze midei pshuto. V'anche amidos atzman, yomru shegan Eden tachas kav ha-shvaya, shelo yosif hayom v'lo yachsar, ובספר הרפואוס ליוונם הקדמון ובכם ספר אסף היהודי יספרו כי אסקפלינוס חכם מקדמון וארבעים איש. So it goes on, he says it's מעבר להודו קדמס עדה. He writes that it's a real place. If you look, the geographers even have, will tell you where it is. Now the geographers seem to be a little confused because they say it's beneath the equator and India. And then they say it's to the east of India. It's below the equator to the east of India. India is above the equator. So, I don't know. It's a little bit confused. But
they thought Kav HaShvaya is an interesting line.
Kav HaShvaya is the equator.
It had to be an equal land mass above and below the equator.
Right.
They have this terra incognita.
Which right.
It was a massive continent which I didn't know where it was.
Right. So, anyhow, but the point, whatever. Now, you might ask, well, one second. We can't find this on Google Maps. Right? So somebody presumably would have noticed this. So I don't think that's akasha on what the Ramban is saying. First of all, Chazal talk about, and the Ramban quotes them, Sha'arim to Gan Eden, meaning to say some types of portals. And clearly the Torah tells us it was hidden. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to hide it, that it didn't get picked up on Google Maps, that you could only enter it through the Sha'arim and the like. But what the Ramban is saying is that this is an actual physical place. Now, the question, though, is what in the world is a physical place have to do with the Olam HaNeshamos? In other words, what is the neshama separated from the body going to do in this physical place, as nice as it might be? So the Ran deals with this question in the Drashos, in the Drash HaShvi'i. He writes, I didn't put this on your sheets, Davar baru muskam she'afal pi she'anefesh eina guf v'lo koach beguf. Afal pi chein mitzad she'shachna beguf hitzdaira mada'os gashmios ad she'yichuyav mizeh she'tishkon acharehi parda b'makom gashmi. And then he continues, and he writes that Gan Eden is a makom mimutza bein ha'gashmios uvein ha'bilti gashmi. Essentially what he's saying is that the soul cannot go from one extreme to the other extreme. And because of its chibur to the guf, while in Olam Hazeh, it simply can't disassociate and then have no connection whatsoever to Gashmius. And it needs a transitional place to go from a connection to Olam Hazeh to a non-connection. And that's what Gan Eden serves. He writes, that's why you'll find the Gemara talks about stories like in the Yud Ches Amud Beis and Brachos about how there's a connection between the soul and the place where the soul is buried. If you look at the Taras HaMincha, which is written by a Talmud of the Rashba, he writes about that's why doing Hespedim B'makom HaMace is so important. Why? The mace is just a dead body. The answer is no, that there's a connection between the neshama and the mace. That's why people go to Kivrei Avos, right? Otherwise it doesn't make sense. What's the point of going to Kivrei Avos? That's where the body is. That has nothing to do with the neshama. So the idea that the Rashba and the Ran and the Ramban all develop is that there is this chibur, and it takes time for the chibur to totally separate. If we had time, maybe we would be marich a little more. But that's what the Ramban writes. Now then he says, well, what's so special about Gan Eden? So he writes that what makes this place so special is that everything in Gan Eden, including its rivers, allude to esoteric spiritual concepts. The structure of Gan Eden affords unparalleled wisdom. In this Perush HaLaTorah, he writes how each tree was planted in a certain place to convey a certain concept. And the perfection of Gan Eden is such that it affords the highest possible or greatest possible connection, intellectual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is we're a little bit oversimplifying. It's not just the Gan, right? The Pasuk says, HaNahar Yotze Me'eden L'Hashkos Es HaGan. So there's three things. There's Eden, and then there's a Nahar that connects them, and then there's the Gan. The Ramban explains that the Gan is the Olam HaSiyah, the Nahar that connects them is the Olam HaDibur, and Eden is the Olam HaMachshava. Again, if we had time, we would be Marchiv a little bit, but we don't. But the Yesod, let's just take a look at what the Ramban writes, is as follows. Vadim HaRishon Ma'asi Yadav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's here again, same page. Mivchar B'nei Adam Haya B'tvuna U'vedas V'shchino HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mivchar HaMekomos Lahana'as Lahana'u U'letoeles HaGuf V'tzir B'makom Ahu HaNechbad Kol Ma'asi HaOlam HaElyon Hu Olam HaNeshamos B'tzir Gashmi. So it's Olam HaNeshamos B'tzir Gashmi. Why? Lahavin Misham Yisod Kol Nivra Gufi V'Nafshi U'Malachi V'chol Ma She'yesh B'Hasagas HaNivra L'Hasig Min HaBorei Yisborach Gam B'makom HaHu HaNechbad B'Kol HaMekomos Olam HaShafel Mipnei HaMutzak Asher Al Rosho Min HaOlam HaEmtza'i V'HaElyon. Meaning to say, there is this Gan on the world, and that's Keneged the Gan Eda. The Gan Eden Tachton is Keneged the Gan Eden Elyon. The Neshama has connections to both as it rises. Right, just like we say there's a Beis HaMikdash Shalmata, Mechuvan Keneged the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, so too there's a Gan Eden Shalmata. The Ramban says Mechuvan Keneged the Gan Eden Shalmala. And the soul ascends from one to the other as the connection to the Guf diminishes. But what the Ramban here is telling us is as follows. What is it that it has? So, skip a little bit in the Ramban. כאשר אנחנו מאמינים שארץ ישראל וירושלים מקומות נכבדים מיוחדים לנבואה בעצמן מפני מוצקם וכל שכן בית המקדש כיסא השם. So skipping a little, the same thing is true for Gan Eden, except umasigin kol ma sheyachol hanivra ladas ulahavin kelimud Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom b'Sinai. Meaning to say that there are two special places in the world in the Torah, Eretz Yisrael and Gan Eden. Eretz Yisrael is the ideal place for prophecy, and the Ramban says the experiential connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas Gan Eden is the ideal place for the intellectual understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this, by the way, explains A, the connection between Bavel and Gan Eden, not just in terms of the rivers, right? Take a look at Yechezkel Perek Chaf Ches, that stresses the connection between Bavel and Gan Eden. What's the Yesod? So I think the Yesod is as follows. If you remember, we talked about earlier in the year from the Kuzari that there are two paradigmatic ways of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Chachma and through Nevuah. And they're both ways of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bavel is the ideal place, and Gan Eden is the ideal place to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Chachma. Eretz Yisrael is the ideal place to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Nevuah. That is why Avraham Avinu was told to leave Bavel and go to Eretz Yisrael. Because Avram was, as the Kuzari explains, meant to develop the Nevuah experiential connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, and that's, in a sense, superior. Now, does that mean to say that there's no place left for the other component? So really, it's very beautiful. We know, and Reb Tzadok, for example, talks about this at length, that where was the Torah Sheba'al Peh developed more than anywhere else? Bavel, not in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah of Bavel is a Torah of darkness. There isn't that nevuah, there isn't that light. B'machshekim o shivani zu Talmud Bavli. But at the same time, there's a certain type of light that can be appreciated only from the perspective of darkness. And that's exactly why we paskin like Talmud Bavli, even over Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Bavli seeks to discover everything from a perspective of Choshech. We have no idea what's going on, right? The Gemara asks questions. What is this? Where is this? Who is it from? Question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, until it ultimately discovers the halacha. It's the place where human intellect is taken into the ultimate, its ultimate end. And that's why, Taka, the development of the Torah Sheba'al Peh had to take place in Bavel and not in Eretz Yisrael. It's Gufa. Eretz Yisrael is a place of Nevuah. Eretz Yisrael is a place of light. And for the development of the Torah Sheba'al Peh to take place, Klal Yisrael had to leave Eretz Yisrael and develop it in Bavel more than anything else. And this relates to a broader topic, which is the purpose of Galus. Again, I'm saying a lot now, very bekitzer, but Galus, and really the purpose of our stage in Jewish history, is to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch HaChoshech. In the first stage of Jewish history, there were Nisim, there was Nevuah, there was Gilui Panim, and the Nisayon wasn't Kfira, it was Avodah Zarah. Everybody saw spiritual forces. The question is, which ones? We've discussed this before. In the second stage, there's no Nisayon of Avodah Zarah. The Nisayon is Kfira. And it's discovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Choshech. And that relates to this point of the intellectual aspect. And that's why it was developed more than anything else in Bavel, which, as we said, is connected. Now, there's a very beautiful Ramban, another Ramban, in his Drasha to the Chasana, where he writes about how Chachma starts in the mind and extends to the heart. Gan Eden represents the mind of the world, the Ramban says. Yerushalayim represents the heart of the world. Chachma begins in the mind and a return to the heart. And thus, ultimately, in Yerushalayim, in Olam Haba, we will reach the pinnacle both of the intellectual and the emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, right, like the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Ki nicham Hashem tzion, nicham kol charvosea, vayasa midbara ke'eden, ve'ervasa kegan Hashem, sason v'simcha yimatze ba, toda v'kol zimra. In other words, eventually, and this is what Olam Haba is all about, what we tried to explain last time, there's going to be ultimate perfection. Right? So, ki nicham Hashem tzion, v'yasa midbara ke'eden. Yerushalayim is going to become Gan Eden. There's going to be unity between the intellect and nevuah and the like. That perfection is Olam Haba. Gan Eden is a means that prepares us for that perfection, and the Ramban says it does so by being the place, both the physical place and the spiritual place, which is ideally suited for this correct cognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which will then prepare the way for Olam Haba and Vayasem Midbara Ke'eden. Okay, I know there are a lot of questions. We're out of time. I'm happy to take them now, or you can ask me afterwards, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll pick up next week, I think, with a new topic.